Hey there, Theme Park Nuts. I'm Dan from ThemeParkNut.com, and this is Nuts About Theme Parks, the weekly theme park podcast where we run through this week's theme park news in a little bit of detail. Today is April 21st, and before we get cracking today, I should say that this is actually 2 weeks' worth of news. Unfortunately, last weekend, I didn't get any time to record any theme park news content at all, as sadly, one of our little kittens that we'd got about a month ago was quite unwell. So we got two kittens at the start of March. Their names are Chandu and Mochi. And unfortunately, last weekend, Mochi started having epileptic seizures. But in good news, he's now on some anti-seizure medication that is, for the most part, it seems, holding back the seizures. We haven't had any now for just over a week, which is great. We are incredibly thankful for that, and it means that we can start getting back to life as normal, which is kind of good. So now, let's get cracking. Disney Experiences announced that the Walt Disney Studios Park at Disneyland Paris is going to be renamed Disney Adventure World when its World of Frozen Land opens. What an awful name. Now, the new World of Frozen, whose opening date has not been announced, will sit next to a new man-made body of water called Adventure Bay, which is a 56.75-acre body of water that will be equipped as a future home of entertainment spectaculars within the park, with fountains, lights, music, and special effects capabilities. So think the lagoon at Disney's California Adventure if you want a comparison. The promenade to Adventure Bay, which is called Adventure Way, really easy names for a non-English speaking park, but whatever. Adventure Way is going to include a new attraction, which is called the Rapunzel's Tangled Spin, a Tangled-themed spinner ride. And the Regal View Restaurant and Lounge, which is going to offer Disney princess meet and greets, as well as views over the Adventure Bay and the entertainment. So think dessert parties, that kind of thing, where you're going to see fireworks and shows on the water and be able to watch from the Regal View Restaurant and Lounge. So this was big news actually last week. It wasn't this week that this all happened. And they've got new logos and things for Disney Adventure World. I do not like the name at all. I think it's an awful name for a theme park. It sounds cheap and tacky. And it also has brand confusion with Disney World, which is sort of their premier attraction, where this is, by all intents and purposes, even with the World of Frozen expansion, going to be the worst Disney park globally. It currently now is the least attended Disney park globally. I can't imagine this is going to turn it into a Disney Sea or Disney's California Adventure comparison. What a clunky name, Disney Adventure World. Don't understand that. Why not give it a French name, for instance? Why continue to treat it like it's Disney UK when it's not? It's in France. Give it a French name and make it somewhat unique. But no, a Disney Adventure World is what we're getting, apparently, and it's going to happen at an indeterminate point in the future when they do this World of Frozen expansion. So, interesting news over in France. Over in Japan, we found out that Universal Studios Japan's expansion to their Super Nintendo World, the ever-popular Super Nintendo World, which is the Donkey Kong Country Land, has been delayed. It was planned to open this spring, which is relatively soon, but it's now been announced that it's going to happen late in 2024, which could mean a lot of things, because if they're talking about financial year 2024, that could slide right into the early parts of 2025 calendar year. But hopefully, it's just a brief delay while they sort out some stuff. The rumors going around is that the land is ready apart from the roller coaster, which the roller coaster is the centerpiece of the land, but it's also the new bit of technology in the land. So I can understand they need some extra time to make sure that functions as intended. So we have seen little bits of video of rides going around the track. So we know that they are in a testing mode for it, but I'd say they found some initial problems very, very quickly in their testing and immediately had to delay the rest of the land, which is a shame. But that might explain some of the... We were expecting an opening date announcement probably from Japan in the last month or so. We thought we might get it on March 10th, which is the Mario Day, the big Nintendo celebration that they tend to do, but not to be. So very interesting that we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to see when Donkey Kong Country opens. Universal Destinations and Experiences have entered a public feedback period for its proposed theme park and resort in the United Kingdom. As part of this release, there was an indicative master plan of how this plot of land, the 476-acre plot, could be used. The land is located in Bedford in the UK, which is about an hour north of London. And you can have a look at the universalukproject.co.uk if you're interested in seeing the site and potentially giving feedback on it, particularly if you're in the local area. That's the point of that site. But obviously they're looking at other people, whether they would travel to that region as well. I like the fact that this website is called Universal UK. Because the initial rumors around this park was going to be that it was going to get called Universal Studios Great Britain. And while I'm not from the UK, obviously there's a lot of links from Australia to the UK. I know a few people in the UK. No one calls it Great Britain, full stop. You could call it Universal Studios England. People would be okay with it, but the obvious name is Universal Studios UK because that's typically how people refer to the entire country of the United Kingdom of Great Britain. People don't call it Great Britain. That's a very American way to think of that. So hopefully we're going to see it called Universal Studios UK based on the fact that this is Universal UK project. As their website, but we'll see, I guess. We'll see. It's not, I mean, I haven't agreed with many theme park names recently, to be perfectly frank. I don't love the name Epic Universe, but I can see what they're trying to do. I downright despise Disney Adventure World, as I just discussed before, so it wouldn't be the first theme park to tick me off with the name, but at the end of the day, it's not the be-all and end-all of that. Over at Disneyland and Walt Disney World theme parks, they are about to revamp their procedures for accommodating guests with accessibility needs. Now, this was pretty big news when it came out because obviously this system is widely known and, let's face it, a little bit wildly rorted. So it's interesting that Disney have said, hey, we're going to change this and the changes are coming. Look out. So the change comes after the use of Disney's Disney Disability Access Service Pass, the DAS Pass, amongst guests has more than tripled at Disneyland Resort in the past 5 years, which is pretty extraordinary. I cannot imagine the number of people with disabilities has changed that significantly in that time. Maybe increased knowledge, fine, but I tend to think that there is a little bit of an abuse of the system here going on. So the DAS Pass, the DAS Pass, will remain. However, Disney is putting together a new team of cast members who are going to be medical experts to determine which guests get the accommodation, which allows you to use lightning lanes and other facilities after waiting an equivalent period of time in the standby queue elsewhere in the park. Starting later this spring, Disney visitors will no longer go to guest relations for accessibility passes. Instead, they will go to this new team who will recommend accommodations based on the visiting party's description of their needs and how they are accommodated elsewhere, so at work, at school, in other ways. Park officials have said that they want to ensure that the DAS system is reserved going forward for guests with developmental disabilities, such as autism spectrum disorder, who are not able to wait in normal queues, rather than have it continue as a catch-all solution. Universal Stella Nova Resort at Universal Studios Orlando's South Campus has an official opening date of January 21st of 2025, while its neighbor resort, Universal Terra Luna Resort, has been announced its opening February 25th of 2025. There was a new concept video released this week that saw all the details about these two moderate resorts. We can go through a little bit of those right now. The lobby bars at the resorts will be the Nova Bar at Stella Nova Resort and the Luna Bar at Terra Luna Resort. Quite novel names, aren't they? The quick services will be the Cosmos Cafe and Market at Stella Nova and the Omega Cafe and Market at Terra Luna. The pool bars and grill will be Galaxy Bar and Galaxy Grill at Stella Nova and Moonrise Bar and Moonrise Grill at Terra Luna Resort. A lot of these names feel very same. It's going to be quite funny being in the two resorts. They are going to be very much copy and paste experiences with the name changes, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Each of the hotels will offer 750 double queen guest rooms that sleep up to four guests, as well as, quote, spaceship-styled windows, making the only windows of their kind in Orlando. Obviously, our only previous spaceship was over at Disney Resort and is no longer there anymore, though I do not know that these will be sort of the same sort of space windows that we saw at Galactic Star Cruiser, where there was just a projection of stars. I think this will be able to be seen through, but we'll have some sort of special coverings. That's my prediction from here. Elsewhere, Disney has given us more creatures for their new Princess and the Elsewhere, Disney has given us more creatures for their new Princess and the Frog ride, with a team of actual frogs joining the musical shenanigans this time. We've got Felipe the Frog, which is the band leader, Maria the Frog, the most ambitious of the four frogs. She's been practicing her instruments since she was a tadpole. Mondo the Frog, who is the group's drummer, and Isabel the Green Tree Frog, who is the youngest member of the group and also plays the conga drums. Universal Studios Hollywood is bringing in a temporary stunt show called the Fall Guy Stuntacular Pre-Show, which is going to open April 27th and run through to May 19th, in conjunction with the opening of the Fall Guy movie, which opens on May 3rd. The new pre-show will play in front of the Waterworld stunt show and is apparently all about stunts in movies, which is what the Fall Guy movie is about. Elsewhere in the world, we have an opening of a new theme park. The new Real Madrid World Theme Park is now officially open at Dubai Parks and Resorts. This park is a re-theming of the former Bollywood Parks Dubai Park. Hollywood in Indiana has sent passengers out on the first test runs of their new coaster for 2024. It's called Good Gravy, and it's a Vekoma family boomerang coaster set in the park's Thanksgiving-themed land. And its first passengers reportedly, of course they probably weren't the first, but the first ones reportedly were all dressed in turkey costumes. So there you go. A bit of news out of Pennsylvania. Dorney Park in Pennsylvania is opening its new dive coaster, The Iron Menace, to a series of special events over the next few weeks before the park opens for the season on May 10th. But it looks like that ride is ready to go after a media preview this week. Meanwhile, over at Kennywood, also in Pennsylvania, they've announced that their Steel Curtain coaster is going to remain closed for the rest of the 2024 season. Busch Gardens' William Burke has announced that they've got an opening date for their revamp of the Loch Ness Monster ride called Loch Ness Monster: The Legend Lives On. It's going to officially open on May 10th at the Virginia Theme Park. Busch Gardens has replaced 900 feet of steel track on this 1978 Arix Dynamic custom looping coaster, as well as added new show elements to the ride and to its queue, which is a pretty big refit, so that looks like it's going to be pretty cool. Intamin has released a video of their newly themed trains for Europe's first installation of a single rail coaster. Mahuka will open later this month at Wallaby Rhône Alpes in France. It's an Intamin hot racer, and it's the second installation of this model after the Big Dipper, the very popular coaster at Sydney's Luna Park. And finally, for this fortnight, let's say, Victoria and Albert at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort has become the first theme park restaurant in the world, I believe, touch wood, I don't know of any others, that has been awarded a Michelin star. Not necessarily surprising that this particular restaurant slash experience is very highly regarded in the culinary world. It's less theme parky than most theme parky restaurants and more fine dining. So good on them for being awarded. It's difficult to get that classification still these days. But yeah, the very first theme park restaurant in the world to be awarded a Michelin star is Victoria and Albert's. And that is it for this week's Nuts About Theme Parks. If you want a much shorter version of this news, please make sure you check out our YouTube and TikTok, where you'll see our weekly theme park news in a nutshell videos. As always, you can catch on up with us. As always, you can catch up with us on Threads or Instagram at ThemeParkNutInsta, or our blog is themeparknut.com. Have a great week theme parking, and until next time, cheers.